Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this complete edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. I'm Pod Vader, complete, and that I have a guest on to represent the Tennessee Titans, which is a team that has been incompletely covered here on the Next Fan Up podcast because we are without a super fan for this team. We're without a super fan for this team, the Buccaneers, the Lions. It appears that the Panthers is also a team underrepresented currently. So if you're a fan of any of those teams, we would love to hear from you. nextfanup@gmail.com. That's the way that you can apply to us. You can also see some of our tweets at NFU Podcast if you'd like. And we have a website, www.nextfanup.wordpress.com, where we have our written previews each and every week. All of that becomes more important as the playoffs are fast approaching. Two weeks away from football that really, really matters. This week is a game that's really, really going to matter for the Tennessee Titans, and I've got a guest, Jimmy Morris, to talk about that in just a few moments. We also have a super fan battle featuring another game that really, really matters between the New York Giants and the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday night. So our super fans, James and Sam, will be here to break down that game, and I'll share my thoughts on that after that breakdown. And we also have an email. Speaking of our email address, nextfanup@gmail.com, I will be answering that or reading it more specifically at the end of the show. So please tune in. I hope you enjoy everything that we've presented to you here on the Wednesday show as we continue to present to you Wednesday podcasts for this season. I don't know what the playoff schedule looks like right now, but you know you're going to get a recap on Monday, and you know you're going to get a preview on Thursdays. And beyond that, it'll be gravy. But I'm working on some things. I got some ideas. We'll see what happens. Anyway, hey, let's get to our guest. All right, so it's been a while. We still don't have an official Titans superfan. So if you are interested in becoming the Tennessee Titans superfan on the Next Fan Up podcast, please email us, nextfanup@gmail.com. In the meanwhile, I'll just talk to the pros, and I'm excited to bring in here Jimmy Morris. He's the lead blogger at MusicCityMiracles.com, which is part of the SB Nation network, and his podcast can be heard on Blog Talk Radio. Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing just fine, and it seems like your Titans are doing just dandy as well. You know, every year at the beginning of the year, I do sort of a win-loss prediction for each team, and this is not where I had the Titans, and I don't think many people had the Titans at this point either. Is this where you saw the Titans being in Week 15, Week 16?
No, not at all. I mean, I thought they would be better. I thought they would be better than really most people nationally thought. But, I mean, I was thinking like a ceiling of 6 wins. I mean, I thought you would see a team that improved as the season went along. You know, they had a lot of new guys, a lot of young guys playing that weren't here last year. So I figured it would take them a little bit of time to come together. And it kind of did. The first month was a little bit rough, especially for Marcus Mariota. But they gelled a whole lot quicker than really I thought they would or anybody else did. And, you know, the last few weeks they've been playing really, really good football. It's a team that, you know, they put forth an identity that they wanted to create in the offseason, and they've been working toward that the whole year, and it really seems to be paying off here late in the season.
What has been the key for the Titans with their winning ways right now? I mean, I know a lot is made of the rushing game, obviously, but there's got to be more to it than just that.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line has been really, really good. That was really one of the main focus areas of the offseason. They signed Ben Jones to play center, traded back up in the first round to draft Jack Conklin. He's the right tackle. I mean, he's been really, really good. So, I mean, a lot of it's through the offensive line. It's given Marcus Mariota time. And so he was under pressure a lot last year, and you could tell they didn't really trust his protection. And so this year, you can see he's a whole lot more comfortable in the pocket. He's gotten comfortable in this offense. Guys like Rashard Matthews, who they signed, you know, with the idea of being a contributor, but through the first month of the season didn't really see it. He's really come on lately. And part of that's due to Marcus Mariota getting better at throwing the ball down the field. That was really the biggest area he struggled in last year, was something about his deep ball was just off a little bit. I mean, he didn't put enough air under it or something. And he really worked on that in the offseason, has really improved on that as the season's gone along. So they've been able to get some chunk plays, which opens things up underneath for a running game. And so the offense has just really come together. Defense is still a work in progress, but they've been better the last couple of weeks. So hopefully they can continue to improve a little bit and give this team a shot to not only get in the playoffs, but maybe win a game.
You know, I think I read, and it may not have been one of your blog posts, but maybe one of your compadres there, about the current state of the Titans defense, and they've certainly learned how to stop the run, but that also might have something to do with the fact that people can pass on the Titans secondary right now.
Yeah, the secondary has been kind of a train wreck all year. They've been better the last couple of weeks, but you know, part of that is I think due to the competition. The Broncos and the Chiefs don't have, you know, the elite passing game that you see from some other teams. So I think part of the fact that the secondary has looked better has been just due to the competition. But, you know, they cut Paris Cox after that Bears game and inserted LaShawn Sims in the starting lineup, a rookie that they drafted this past year. And he's been pretty good, had a big interception on Alex Smith in the end zone on Sunday. You know, that obviously helped secure that win. And then Jason McCourty was the other starting corner, and he's been hurt, and Bryce McCain stepped in and actually played really well with him out. So, I mean, it's kind of like they've had a couple of other guys that have gotten opportunities and it has played better than the guys were in front of them. So, the secondary is going to be the biggest thing they need to address this offseason. But, I mean, I think they're just hoping they can, you know, patch it together enough to win the next two games. And then, like I said, hopefully win a game or two in the playoffs.
You know, you look at your last five games, and it is certainly an impressive resume with a huge win against Green Bay, which I think is sort of that November 13th game sort of started this, you know, are the Titans for real? You stumble against the Colts. You then go to Chicago and beat the Bears at Soldier Field. And then you just mentioned the Broncos and then last week at Arrowhead in Kansas City. I mean, you're taking on playoff teams and beating them, which I think gives you a huge resume if your team makes it to the playoffs. My question would be, do you think it's division title or bust, or do you think you can maybe steal a wild card in there?
Well, if you look at the teams in front of them, it really does look like they're going to have to win the division because it just seems like there's too many teams that are in front of them. Now, they do have a tiebreaker against some of those teams. They beat the Dolphins, they beat the Broncos. So if it were a head-to-head against those guys, they would win that tiebreaker. They end up tied with the Ravens. I think the Ravens would go because they have a better division conference record. So it does need to be the division. But, you know, like I said, luckily they've put themselves in a position where if they win these last two games, they're in. And they have to beat Houston, regardless of what happens. Now, if they lose to – if the Titans go Jacksonville lose Sunday, they're done. Because they wouldn't have a tiebreaker with Houston, or if they got a three-way tie with Houston and Indy, they wouldn't have a tiebreaker there either. So they've got to win the next two. And even if Houston loses to Cincinnati on Saturday, the Titans still have to beat the Texans in Week 17 to get in. But, yeah, I mean, it's just funny. It's transitioned from, hey, hopefully we can win the AFC South, get in the playoffs, and, you know, everybody will be happy just to win this bad division and get a playoff game. But now it's like, you know, they can get in the playoffs and maybe even, like, make a little bit of noise. And I don't think that anybody is being honest with themselves is thinking, you know, hey, if we go to Foxborough and take out the Patriots, we can beat them. But the teams that they've beaten in the last few weeks, I mean, they've shown that they are at least in the conversation of teams that are good enough to win a game in the playoffs. So, I mean, that's a huge, you know, a huge step from where they were at this time last year when they were, I mean, pretty legitimately the worst team in the NFL.
Trust me, there's a lot of teams that legitimately are saying to themselves, oh God, we can't go to Foxborough, but that's
right,
another story.
Yeah.
let's talk a little bit about the team that you are facing this week in the Jacksonville Jaguars. They just fired Gus Bradley. They now have an interim head coach. They are 2-12, 1-6 at home. I mean, to me, this almost seems like a lock of the week here.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand why you feel that way. But, I mean, if you go back and look, I can't remember the last time they swept the Jaguars, but it's been a while. And, you know, both teams have been bad. But the Jaguars have been really bad for a while now. So this is kind of the game. I mean, if you look back at Mike Munchak's first year, the year that the Colts were so bad, all they had to do was go to Indy and beat the winless Colts, and then they would have been in a position to get in the playoffs, and they lost that game. Only game the Colts won all year. So I think as Titans fans, we've been conditioned a little bit to – to be afraid of these games a little bit. You know, and then there's the whole fired their coach narrative. Are they going to play better for the interim guy and all that stuff? So, yeah, I mean, it's a game on paper. They absolutely should win. They handled the Jaguars really easily here when they played them in the Thursday night football game. The score ended up being close to the end, but it was classic, you know, Blake Bortles throwing for all the yards when the game's over. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where they need to stay focused and take care of business. And if they're able to do that, like I said, then they put themselves in a position to win the division the next week.
And then that next week is that game against the Texans. I mean, what are your thoughts there about that three-way race? I'm going to include the Colts still in that three-way race, although I do think the Colts' chances are a little less likely than yours.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Texans, if you look at their resume, I mean, I don't know exactly where they were, but as of last week, they were still like negative 40-something in point differential. But they won games, you know, and in the end, that's ultimately all it comes down to. Whereas the Titans haven't lost a game more than a touchdown all year. They've been in every game that they've played. They just weren't able to pull out a couple of them. So, I mean, I like their chances at home against Houston in Week 17. I mean, I'm like, really glad the game is here in Nashville. But, you know, I think that we'll see. You know, the Texans looked to get a little bit of a boost last week with Tom Savage coming in and playing. He looked better than Osweiler, so we'll see how all that plays out. But, I mean, it'd be hard for me to think that anybody is playing better than the Titans are right now. I mean, they seem to have really gelled and peaked at the right time. So, yeah, I mean, I like their chances in a winner-take-all game.
Now, let's look ahead a little bit past this season. You know, I know that the Titans are going to have a ton of cap space coming up for this next offseason. My question, though, is a lot of that cap space is thanks to the fact that Mariota is on a rookie deal. Do you think the Titans need to address that in any sense of the way this coming off season, or do you think they can still get away with what he's got on his rookie deal and make some moves here to maybe make an even bigger noise next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have to wait one more year before they can extend him anyway. So I would say that what they'll try to do this next offseason, and really what they did last offseason, was if they're going to sign a couple of guys, you know, sign them to deals that are front-loaded. So that most of the money comes in these couple of years, and they're going to have that cap space, like you said, because Mariota's still playing under his rookie contract. So they're going to look to add on defense. If you look at what they did last offseason, I mean, they needed pretty much everything outside of quarterback heading into last offseason. And, you know, John Robinson was able to do a great job and address, you know, pretty much all the needs on the offensive side of the ball. They can still use a wide receiver that can really get down the field and you know, make defenses respect the deep ball more. But he's going to look to address defense this offseason. Need corners, need inside linebackers, still need a pass rusher or two. So that's kind of where they'll be focused this offseason. But, I mean, it's great to, you know, they got the Rams first-round pick, which, you know, if the season was over today, it would be pick number 5 plus their first-round pick. So great to be a team that has, I mean, pretty much everything they need on the offensive side of the ball, most importantly, the quarterback in place, and still have that really high pick and you know, possibly coming into an offseason where they've built quite a bit of momentum.
You know, going into this season, you know, I saw some positive things, obviously, out of the Titans. I just didn't think that they clearly wouldn't be at this point at this quickly. But as they move forward, it sounds like this is exactly the plan that teams like the Browns or even the Jaguars, who was a team that I thought would be where you are now this season, should be following. You know, is it all to do with your general manager?
Well, I mean, a lot of it, you know, has to do with having the quarterback. That's obviously the first step in any plan there. But yeah, I mean, he made so many good moves off season, and you know, he was pretty the trade for DeMarco Murray was not very well received. You know, he was bad in Philadelphia last year. But you know, paid him too much money, all that stuff. But like I said, they put together a plan, what they wanted to be, what they wanted to accomplish, and they knew that DeMarco Murray fit that perfectly. And, you know, they had a ton of cap space, so the money didn't really matter. They didn't really have to give up. They swapped picks in the 5th round with the Eagles to get him. So it didn't even end up really having to give anything up to get him other than the money. And then, like I said, they signed a center, moved up to draft a right tackle they really liked. So, yeah, I mean, he's done a great job being able to find guys that fit what they want. And I think that was the biggest criticism of Rustin Webster as the general manager before. There never seemed to be a plan. I mean, it was like, we'll draft the guy that had the best combine numbers and hope that he ends up, you know, being a star. And yeah, obviously that's just never a good plan. Hadn't worked out. And you saw what John Robinson did with Dorial Green-Beckham before the year started. You know, they weren't happy with what he did in the offseason. They weren't happy with the work he had put in mini camps and stuff. And so they sent him out the door and traded him for a backup left tackle. And again, everybody was kind of scratching their head, wondering what he was doing. But they're building a culture here. They want guys that want to be here, that want to win, that are going to put their best foot forward every day. Green-Beckham wasn't doing that. And so he shipped him out of town, and it sent a message. And more so than anything else, I mean, guys in the locker room, you heard them in interviews take notice of, hey, you know, if we're not doing our jobs, if we're not putting in what we're supposed to put in, then we could be gone. And even Delaney Walker made a comment about, it's refreshing to see that now this team is committed to winning above everything else. And so just kind of a culture change that he and Mularkey both have brought. And, yeah, I mean, they deserve a lot of credit for where the team is right now.
Last question. Do you think DeMarco and Derrick Henry can reside in the same backfield again next season? Will they still be amicable? Is there enough plays for both of them to still make the contributions they're making?
I think so. I think for one more year. And I think that you'll see – and you've seen over the last couple of weeks that they've given Derrick Henry a little bit more. You know, and DeMarco Murray, just he's had a lot of carries. And so the season has gone on. He's worn down a little bit. And so I think next year you'll see maybe even more of an even split in the beginning of the year. But they've been up front with DeMarco Murray about what their plan was, you know, the work that he was going to get. They've been able to give him that. He's produced. So, yeah, I think so. I mean, Derrick Henry seems to have a good attitude. You know, just, hey, I'm here. I'm learning. You know, it'll be my time eventually. And so I think that as long as everybody keeps the attitudes that they have now and as long as they keep winning, I mean, you know how it is. Winning, those kind of personnel battles, they get a lot worse if the team's not winning. People are a whole lot less likely to be upset with things like that when things are going well. So, yeah, I mean, I think if they can keep winning and keep the split kind of like it's been this year, I think they get one more year out of it. And at that point, you know, it'd probably be DeMarco Murray kind of be toward the end anyway. And then you've got Derrick Henry fresh, still on his rookie contract and able to do a lot of things that, you know, to be that bruising back that they want. So, yeah, I do. I think they can get one more year out of it.
All right, Jimmy, where can people find you?
Yeah, we're on, obviously, like you said, MusicMiracles.com. And then on Twitter, @TitansMCM is the official Twitter handle for the blog. And then I'm @JMorrisMCM on Twitter.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Jimmy. Really appreciate it. And good luck to the Titans.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thursday night football coming up this week, ladies and gentlemen. Here you have Superfan Battle. Samuel representing the New York Giants, and I'm James representing the Philadelphia Eagles. Last time these two teams met, it was a 28-23 game that came down to the very end in which Carson Wentz threw an errant pass to Nelson Aguilar. He went out, the pass went in, or vice versa. It was so long ago, I try to forget. This is the rematch Thursday night in Philadelphia with the Giants still with playoff aspirations riding on this game and possibly division hopes. So, Sam, let's start with you. How has your team fared since the last time we played? What's better? What's worse?
I think in that game, Carson Wentz threw two early interceptions and gave the Giants short fields, and that's why we were able to put out 28 points. Our offense is struggling. It's no secret. It's Odell Beckham or bust at this point. We'll have random drives every one or two games where it looks okay, but most of the time we're not very good. But on the other side of the ball, I think the Giants have the best defense in football, and I really can't see the Eagles scoring close to I don't see the Eagles breaking 14 points this week. I just think they don't have the playmakers to do it, and I think the Giants defense has really stepped up. And you know, this isn't a team you can just go in and not make mistakes and succeed on. This is a defense that you have to consistently make plays on to advance the ball and to score. The last 2 weeks, we've given up one touchdown in the last 26 drives against two division leaders. I mean, what have you seen that the Eagles can do since we last played that can beat the Giants. I mean, this is one of the few times I'm not worried about the Eagles. So I just know that means it's going to be a crushing loss for the Giants.
Well, you are right about the first matchup. It was two very quick interceptions by Carson Wentz that put the Giants up 14-0. And then the Eagles pretty much outscored them the rest of the way, 23-14. But you get behind the eight ball early, it's hard to catch up. And towards the end of that game, I do remember Eli threw two picks on back-to-back drives that the Eagles really couldn't capitalize off of except for field goals. And like I said, that last drive that went awry. Since then, we've had, of course, injuries all over the place, decimated backfield, the benching of a wide receiver, a defense that has lost its mind, let alone its identity, and big plays are still being given up. Yes, your defense does worry me a bit over the last couple of weeks as far as what they've done in shutting down some very potent offenses. And even though we did play Baltimore to a 26-27 defeat, save the two-point conversion that was a bad play called, but I still believe the right decision. We were able to hang with them tough for the majority of the game, especially in the final minutes. But I don't feel like falling behind early is the best way to get Carson Wentz jump started. And it seems as though every time we go down double digits, he settles in, he's calm, he's collected, he's able to make all the reads and all the throws with little to no errors. Again, a pick early this past week against Baltimore put us behind the eight ball early, and we played catch-up most of the way. I can't see that happening this week with the way Giants are playing right now. We get behind early again. This could turn into the blowout that should have been the first game and not letting us back in. A couple of things on the injury front before we started. I did mention Lane Johnson is going to be starting this Thursday night at right tackle. With all the injuries we've had at that position, his 10-game suspension has ended, so he will be playing these last 2 weeks. Darren Sproles has cleared concussion protocol. He was missing this past Sunday, so he will be present this week as well. Of course, again, big plays for our defense is a concern. We gave up a lot of big plays to Baltimore yesterday, and with Odell Beckham Jr. still active for the New York Giants, though I keep wishing he'd sit down 1 week. There's a lot of big play potential there, and you were mentioning earlier your concern for the Giants offense as of late.
Yeah, it's really been the Odell Beckham show. I mean, when you watch, it's kind of like three and out, 8 yard slam for 60 yard touchdown, three and out, and it's frustrating to watch. He doesn't get enough targets. I just don't understand. I mean, I don't see teams haven't stopped him. This past week, he had a great one-handed catch for a touchdown. On that last drive, he extended it with a great throw by Eli, but a good catch on the sideline. He was drawing a lot of double coverage in the beginning, and that's why the Giants were able to go downfield. I just don't think they adjust to him enough when he's in single coverage. I just think if he's even with the cornerback, you have to throw the ball up and let him make the play on it, and Eli's just not doing that enough. And it's not like he's targeting great players. I mean, Sterling Shepard's all right. Victor Cruz has flashes, but Will Ty, Jarrell Adams, like these are guys that they're forcing throws to when really it's not worth it. I mean, you barely get 2 yards versus taking a shot downfield. And even if he doesn't make the catch, he gets interfered with a lot. So I would just like them to throw the ball to him more. But that being said, we do have some problems on the offensive line. So can't only be on Eli, but he just looked really bad this season. So I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, if I do remember correctly, you all did lose a guard in that first matchup between these two teams. Snee, I believe it was. Chris Snee?
No, Justin Pugh.
Justin Pugh, sorry.
Yeah, Chris Snee's an old – yeah. No, he came back this past week, and that's why we were able to run the ball a little bit. Eric Flowers is still, I don't know, a turnstile isn't descriptive enough to let you know how people just walk by him. He has his shoulders pointed at the opposite field goal almost every play. He's just completely turned around. So it's been a struggle, but Ben McAdoo offense is supposed to get the ball out quickly, so I would expect to see a lot of those troubles negated. I just don't think Eli is sharp enough to really operate this offense the way McAdoo wants. So I don't know what the solution is. I don't know if the solution is And I mean, this is a future thing, whether it's changing the offense or changing the quarterback, because something's not, you can't watch this Giants offense and think this is the way it's supposed to be. So we'll see if they're able to make any switches going into the playoffs. I haven't been watching much Eagles, mostly because they fell out of contention, but how's the Eagles offense? I remember at the beginning of the season, there was a lot of safe throws, short throws, letting Wentz get in a groove, but has that been the game plan? Have teams been keying in on it a little more? What's been happening with you guys?
Teams have pretty much loaded up on a lot of the short dink and dunk. There have been more intermediate passes called. If you recall a couple of weeks ago in the Green Bay game on Monday night, we benched Nelson Aguilar because he was dropping a lot of those short dink and dunk passes that could have easily been first downs or just wide open catches. Jordan Matthews has stepped up and actually been fighting more for the ball in one-on-one coverage instead of looking like, you know, defenders on him and he's lost as far as what to do when the ball comes towards him. I would still like to see more of Doriel Green Beckham getting more targets. That hasn't happened yet since Aguilar has been back. And, you know, a little bit, Aguilar had a little setback on Sunday. He had a couple of passes thrown in his direction where there was almost no effort. And, you know, without Sproles, and of course we cut Huff earlier this year, they put Aguilar back as punt returner, which was a disaster in and of itself because we had zero punt return yards because he let everything drop in front of him and roll whichever way the ball went. Hopefully he's not back there returning punts. And again, Darren Sproles is out of the concussion protocol, so that should help out a little bit this week. They have been more consistent with going downfield, and the mix of the running game has been more balanced. There were 39 runs called on Sunday against Baltimore to 42 passes. And even though the passing game was abysmal, mostly because of the weather in Baltimore, the running game really did step up. So I feel like as long as they can stick with the run on Thursday night, the game should be close. And neither team should really get ahead by more than 10 points at any juncture of the game. Of course, turnovers do play a factor in that. Typically this time of year when these two teams play, there are quite a few turnovers by both teams going. If you remember the Monday night game last year was a turnover love fest. No one wanted to hold on to the ball. You know, how comfortable are you with that, with this game being in Philadelphia and, you know, the weather possibly being a factor on Thursday night?
Oh, there's like a 65% chance this is Eli Manning's four-pick game. So there's always that to worry about. I mean, I think we both can see Eli Manning throwing four passes and looking absolutely terrible in this game of the Giants losing. So it is a worry, but again, on the other side, the Giants defense, me, have been pretty good at forcing turnovers these last 10 weeks or so. So it would be interesting to see. I mean, they forced Carson Wentz to his first two interceptions, and I think that Carson Wentz will turn the ball over at least once. He has some fumbling issues also, from what I've seen. I don't know if that's just me seeing the plays that he fumbles or if that's actually been an issue. But I got to imagine the Eagles having at least two or three turnovers in this game against this Giants defense. Well, I mean, do you see the Eagles staying turnover free? Do you guys, have they been staying turnover free recently?
No, and he has at least one turnover in every single loss in the last five games. Most of those, I think every single fumble he's had has been on a blindside hit in which, Jason Peters has let his man get through, or there's been a blitz and a misassignment where someone's pretty much either gotten to his offhand the way he's holding the ball. He's, you know, tried to step up in the pocket and lost track of a free defender who's rushed past him coming up from behind and holding the ball just a little bit too long. You know, that's something that should be cleaned up in the off season, but at just juncture of the season, you know, you just live with it. I expect him to turn the ball over once and, you know, no more than twice, if that. With, like you said, with Eli Manning, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he threw another four touchdowns again this week, or if he threw four picks. You never know what you're going to get, especially with this particular matchup. He's never really been consistent in this game between these two teams. Final thoughts: what are you looking at as far as the outcome and score?
I think it's going to be 20-7 for the Giants. I just don't see enough playmakers on this Eagles offense right now. If Janoris Jenkins isn't there, it scares me a little bit more, but if Janoris Jenkins is there, then yeah, I don't see a situation where the Eagles break 10 points. I just think this Giants defense is so keyed in. They can stop the run. They don't have to rush more than four to get to the passer. They have guys that can cover in the back end. Landon Collins is a defensive player of the year candidate. He's been a revelation after being a semi-bust last year. So I think we lean on our defense again, win an ugly Thursday night game, and with this, if we win, we clinch the playoffs. So that would be nice because, you know, if it's up to that last game against the Redskins and there's a chance we don't make the playoffs with the loss, we're going to lose. So it would be nice to wrap it up in Week 16.
Understood. I'm looking at probably a little closer game, say 2017. Not sure who to say will win at this point. I really do see this game possibly going either way. Again, my team has nothing to play for at this point. This could be the week they finally do get everything straight with minimum mistakes and nothing glaring like, you know, false start to stall one drive or lining up improperly to stall another drive or, you know, missing a blocking assignment or anything like that or key crucial turnover that just sets us back 10 points early. So I'm looking at 20-17 as a final score. I'm not going to pick a winner as of yet. I have slim optimistic hope that we can pull it out. But that's all we're going to have time for today. Again, Thursday night football fans, good one between the Eagles and Giants. Playoff implications, Giants clinch with a win. Cowboys clinched the title with a Giants loss. So we'll catch you all next time and back to Jay.
All right, so James and Sam, they do a fantastic job previewing that game. James didn't share his pick. He shared a score, which I think is interesting, but he didn't share his pick. Sam, of course, going with the Giants. I got to say, this is an interesting game because everything that I do when it comes to picking a game, a short week division rival, I almost always go with the home team, but I don't think I can do it. Everything tells me I should be taking the Eagles here, but I'm not. Eagles have won 4 of their past 5, although that one of their past 5 was this year where the Giants won 28-23. Eli Manning, 4 touchdowns. As a matter of fact, Eli, in his last 2 versus the Eagles, passing for 279 yards per game, 6 touchdowns, only 2 picks. I mean, that's pretty good. I'd also like to mention here that if you're looking for some fantasy help here going down the stretch, Jordan Matthews tends to like to play against the Giants. 3 touchdown catches in his past 4 versus the Giants. And he's done particularly well at home this year against the division. I'd like to add that Zach Ertz is also a Giant killer in his past 2. 17 catches for 249 yards. That's pretty good. So, I'm going to go with the Giants. I think ultimately the Giants here are the better team. I think the Eagles were plucky early, but I think they're really showing their age here as the season has gone on. And I'm going to take the Giants to win. I would not be surprised, though, if the Eagles were able to pull off a surprise victory and score the upset. But I'm going to go with the New York Giants, as much as that hurts me to say. Yeah, I'm taking the Giants. I mentioned at the top of the show that we had an email, nextfanup@gmail.com, and it came from our MVP of emails, Josh. He actually wrote this before this weekend. He's a big Broncos fan, I think. I have a feeling he is. I'm not 100% sure about that. Anyway, he was talking about the Patriots-Broncos game. Also mentioned something about the Titans getting lucky against the Broncos, but hey, let me tell you right now, I think the Titans are for real, and I do think that they might even be able to pull off a victory in that first round of the playoffs once they get in. I would not write off the Tennessee Titans. Their resume is strong with victories over Kansas City, Denver, and Green Bay. Those are real wins, ladies and gentlemen. Real big boy football wins. All right, we've got a preview show coming up for you tomorrow, so we hope that you download and listen to that one. Of course, we will feature all the games coming up this holiday weekend, most of them happening on Saturday this week. So don't forget, Christmas Eve is the day you're going to watch most of your football, and 2 games coming to you on Christmas Day and 1 game coming to you on Monday Night Football. And those 3 games, by the way, the two Sunday and the one on Monday night are big games that have big playoff implications. So we'll talk about that with the super fans tomorrow. We'll probably talk a little bit about potential head coaches and the teams that are going to be looking for them. The Rams, we know, are one. And as mentioned earlier, the Jacksonville Jaguars now looking for a head coach as well. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's Next Fan Up podcast. In the meantime, I leave you with the unemployed head coach, Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.